Welcome to Pearls of Wisdom. This is a place where we dig deep into the scriptures. We look for guidance from the Word of God, because that's the greatest place of wisdom.
Well, it's a Monday, and of course, it's always time for Pearls of Wisdom round about this time on the show. I welcome Dr. Paul Coupe.
Thank you, Z. Thank you. And it's great to be back. Great day to all our listeners out there. And yeah, we've been talking about contending. What does it mean to contend? We've been talking about the fact that in this season, more than any other season, I think, our faith and our values have been under such gross, immense scrutiny and attack. And we've been talking about how are we expected to respond as believers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and we looked into Jude 1:3 last time, which is the scripture which tells us to contend earnestly. The words that Paul uses are contend earnestly for the faith. And we also spoke about the fact that we're not defending God, we're defending the faith.
Amen.
Yeah, there's a difference. So God doesn't need defending, because we can't defend him anyway. We're just a, you know, creation, and creation can never defend creator.
Yeah.
So it's his job to defend us. But we're defending the faith. Why? Because God told us to. Mm-hmm. It's an instruction, not a recommendation, not a suggestion. He said in his word in Jude 1:3, contend. And he said, contend earnestly, which means come with your chest out. Gasuhuba.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't come hanyane hanyane with your head hanging down, but with your chest out. Kakrach. With krach.
Yes.
Everything yeah. you've got. Yeah. So, yeah, we've been talking about contention. What does it mean? So I want to talk about some of the ways in which we can contend. Mm-hmm. You know, if we read Jude 1 verses 22 and 23, this is what it says. It says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. So when you contend, you make a difference. Verse 23
sure.
says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Yeah. And it says, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So these are some of the ways that we contend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were talking in the first, we were talking about how, having to contend. We talked about the Paris Olympics and things like that. And, you know, with the Paris Olympics, we saw some Christians standing up for the faith and standing up for the values during that whole issues around opening ceremony, etc. This is how I want to say that the Bible also intends and expects us to contend. It doesn't mean you're going to go out there, gaddy face, you know, and you're going to punch everybody, because that's what some of us think. Contention, hey, I'm going to beat you.
Yeah.
Come here, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me deal with you. No. That's physical, fleshly, carnal yes. contention.
Mm.
Here are some of the ways we can best contend. I mean, out of that Paris thing, what I saw, I had a friend, Jason Hubbard, who's a good friend of mine, IPC. Mm. He's the director and leader, servant leader of International Prayer Connect. They started prayers for France.
Sure.
They started an initiative called Love France. I saw people started praying and worshiping. And I believe there's like revival that's going to grow out of there. So part of contending is what? We preach the gospel more than ever.
Amen.
We elevate prayer. We go into another level of prayer. Mm. We evangelize. We win souls. Sure. That's part of the strategy for contention. It's not, you know, fivefold ministry slapping somebody. No, you don't. It's that's contending. When you preach the gospel, when you love people more, when you evangelize, when you're intentional about evangelizing and winning souls, we bring correction where there's it's necessary.
Yeah,
that's also part of contention, is to bring correction where there's error. Like there was error, we say, "Excuse me, this is wrong." Politely and respectfully so. We correct error in love, speaking the truth in love, yeah. Yes, and we make sure we snatch people from perversion. That's what the scripture there says, pulling them out of fire. Where there's perversion and stuff, we snatch them out of that place. And we contend for the faith. We contend for the faith. So I want to encourage us out there. Let's contend for the faith, and let's not be pretenders. Because they're pretenders and they're contenders. Some of us are pretending to contend, but we're not really contending. So, yeah, a key lesson, one of the key lessons that I picked up and I learned from this and from the whole Paris experience is that When Christians mobilize, they gather together in unity.
Yes.
They all come together because globally, I saw some friends commenting from the United States. Mm. Some were, you know, commenting from Netherlands, all different nations.
Yeah.
So when we come together with one voice, then we can make an impact. So I think the lesson that we learn from this whole scenario is we must contend for the faith.
Mm.
Where we're expected to be a voice, we must be a voice. I saw a lot of our wonderful Christian leaders also rising up, you know, to speak out and just contend for the faith. When we do that, we make a sound, we become salty in the way that we're supposed to be salt. We manifest ourselves as light in the way that we're supposed to be light.
Yeah.
Guess what? It has an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that the YouTube video was actually pulled. It was pulled from the opening ceremony. It was pulled.
Sure.
And we also got an apology from the Paris Olympic organizers.
Mm.
They apologized. Mm. And I listened to it in English and French. You know, growing up in Canada, we spoke French. So I listened to both versions.
Mm.
And they issued an apology to the Christian faith.
Sure.
So that is the big lesson there, that if we're cowardly or if we're negligent, or if we decide to behave like ostriches, put our head under the table and just pretend we don't see things and we don't line up with that instruction to contend for the faith, to stand up for the faith, to be vocal when we need to be vocal, to be a voice, to be salt, to be light, to occupy and do business until he comes. When we do that, there's a win at the end.
There's a win.
Yeah.
It's such a challenging word, Mama Pearl. I'm thinking about it because this was on a big scale, on a public platform,
huge,
international and all of that.
Yeah.
Sometimes we struggle doing it in families.
Exactly.
Just in the family meetings and ceremonies and all of those kind of things.
Absolutely.
And people say whatever they want about Christianity.
Absolutely.
And we're just quiet.
No, I'm my family knows, and my family, they know. The majority of us are saved, but you know, we have extended family.
Yeah.
And even in the extended family, we go to a funeral or whatever, if there are things that do not line up with my faith, I speak out.
Mm.
If they want me to do some things that are not part of my faith, they already know.
Yeah.
They already know. And I'm not apologetic about it.
Yeah.
I just say, listen, my faith does not agree with this practice that you're practicing. And they're fine. They accept it.
Mm.
And they leave me alone. Mm. They don't make me, you know, take part in those practices. And I don't know why, as believers, we seem to be the most apologetic
extremely
about our faith. And God says, if you deny me here on earth, now, also, I will deny you, you know, in heaven.
Yeah.
So we just need to not stop being apologizing and being apologetic for our faith.
Right.
We don't force feed anybody our faith. We don't force it down anybody's throat. But at the same time, again, we don't apologize for believing in Yeshua. I don't know. You know, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
So stop being ashamed of the gospel and ashamed of the way that you believe.
Sure, I love it. In your circle of friends, when you choose to, when you say no, when everybody else is saying yes, and you know that that's a way of you just standing up for the faith.
Up.
The way that we behave in the midst of pressure among people that don't believe.
For sure.
Is
absolutely
another way that we need to.
I remember when I was still working in the Botswana Attorney General's chambers, you know, and I won't say it was contending for the faith as such, but I was standing for my values.
Yes.
And we would have a Christmas party. I worked for the Botswana Attorney General's, and I think I was a principal state counsel at the time.
Mm.
Every Christmas, they would have a Christmas party in the department, and there would be somebody who'd go around taking drinks orders, and everybody would take drinks. And I remember that, one time they didn't come to my office to ask what I was drinking.
Because they knew.
And I went in protest. I said, nobody asked me for it. They said, we know you, you're soft
already.
Drink.
Yeah.
Soft drinks. Yeah. We know.
So we just allow people to say things and then we just like, okay.
No,
it shouldn't be that way.
We're not supposed to conform.
That's such a challenging word.
We're not supposed to conform to the world standards.
Mm.
We are supposed to be transformed by the renewal of our minds.
Yeah.
So, and we must not be apologetic for not conforming to worldly standards and Babylonian standards. We say them out with grace, with love, not in arrogance or in pride, but with humility, grace, love, and firm.
Dr. Pearl, it's always great. Thank you so much.
Wonderful.